come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
Following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart 2015 Women's Bible Study in the Book of Mark, titled Servant, Sacrifice, Savior. If you'd like more information about this ministry, please go to www.refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Now let's get into the study.
So, Father, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Father, for the freedom that we have in you, for the love, Lord, that you have poured out upon us, Lord, for the love that you have for people everywhere of every gender. Lord, you love them so much so that you do not allow us to go our own way for very long. Lord, that you deal with situations in our lives. And so, Father, help us to be bold women. Women who pray and seek your face, women who draw close to you. Lord, we want to be women who hear your voice and take the time to hear your voice and to look into your face and see you. Lord, when we're speaking, to stop what we're doing, to see if perhaps you want to speak to us. To not be so busy in what we're doing that we don't pay attention when we're praying. We just say what we have to say and we walk away. Lord, help us to be women who are good listeners to what you have for us. And so, Father, we thank you for your word tonight. I pray, Father, for your anointing. In the name of Jesus, I pray, Father, that you would anoint me. In the name of Jesus, that you would fill me, Lord, with the things that only you can give to me, that you would cause me to speak your words and your words alone. Lord, help us to hear what you are saying to us and then to be doers of your word and not hearers only. And so we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, what happened last week was last week did not get recorded, unfortunately. So I am going to recap the portion of the text that we went over last week, just so that we have a little bit of a thing on record as to what this portion of our text was. So we are starting at chapter 14, around about verse 46, when they laid their hands on Jesus and they took him. And the you know that the one that was by his side, we call him Peter. Peter cut off the ear of the soldier guy. Malchus, we probably know, is his name. And then Jesus answered and said to them, "Why in the world would you come after me with all of these men?" There were 150 men that had come to get Jesus at this particular time. Why would you send out these many people? I've been teaching in the synagogue for all this time, and you never bothered me. But now that scripture might be fulfilled, here you are to come and get me. And so it goes on, and it says that they all forsook him. And Marty did such a fabulous job last week covering all of this. But we're just doing this so that we bring this all in so that we can tie it all together. And then a certain young man in verse 51, I look at this and I say, this stands out to me. And so I want to know why it's in there. When it says in verse 51, "Now a certain young man followed him, having a linen cloth thrown around his naked body, and the young men laid hold of him, and he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked." Who is this person? We know that this person was John Mark. John Mark, who is in fact Mark, the one who wrote this book. And so he was approximately 12 years old at this time. What probably happened, he was at home, maybe he just got done with his bath, maybe he just got into bed, but he heard all of this commotion going on up at the Garden of Gethsemane. And so he grabbed something, wrapped it around himself, and went up to see what was going on. When he got up there, he was grabbed by one of the guards, and he got away from him naked by them just grabbing hold of what he had on him. So this is the only account of we have about Mark. This is the only thing we really know about Mark in here. So this is who is covered in this particular portion. And so then they led away Jesus away to the high priest. With him were assembled the chief priests, the elders, and the scribes. And we know that Peter followed from afar. Peter followed from a distance. Two things here. He followed from a distance, and so he found himself warming at the fires of the enemy. We will always find ourselves warming at the fires of the enemy when we follow from afar. God calls us to follow closely behind. Follow closely behind Christ. Follow closely behind Jesus. That's what we are called to do. But there's one thing that I want to say about Peter. Peter still followed. Yes, he followed from a distance, but he did not turn his back. He still followed. He still continued to follow Jesus and to find out what was going on. And then it goes on to say that many bore false witness against Jesus. Many of them had things to say. And they said that he did say, I will destroy this temple made with hands, and within 3 days I'm going to build another made out without hands. And we know that this is speaking not of the physical temple, but of the temple of Jesus Christ, who would rebuild all of that during his death and resurrection. But not even the testimony of the people that came would agree with one another. And so they saw that this was the situation. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, do you answer nothing? What is it these men testify against you? And he kept silent and answered nothing. And again, the high priest says, are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And Jesus said, I am. I am. I am that one that you say. I am that, and you will see me. You will see the Son of Man, denoting that he's talking about I am all man and I am all God at this particular time. You will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming with the clouds of heaven. And then the high priest tore his clothes. Little did he know that he was doing exactly what was about to take place at the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. At the time when Jesus said, it is finished, the curtain between the Holy of Holies tore from the top to the bottom. This is exactly what was happening when the priest tore his clothes. He took away his own priesthood and said, we are open to what is going on here. We are open to Jesus in this. Not that the priest himself was open to Jesus, but he was signifying the same thing that would happen in the Holy of Holies being open to all of us to enter in without having to go through that priest. And so you have heard the blasphemy, he said. All condemned him that he was deserving of death. And then here we go in verse 65. We've got to look at this for a second. Then some began to spit on him. Where are we and who are we with here? Religious leaders began to spit upon him, and they blindfolded him, and they began to beat him and to say to him, prophesy, and the officers struck him with the palms of their hands. He is being beaten right now by some who were religious leaders. And then it goes on to say that Peter was in the courtyard, and we have that whole story of his denial. 1, 2, 3 times. He would deny the Lord. He would get before the situation and he would deny the Lord. Then in verse 71, then he began to curse and swear, I do not know this man of whom you speak. I don't know who you're talking about. You're trying to put me with him. I don't know who he is. And then it says, a second time, the rooster crowed. And then Peter called to mind the word that Jesus had said to him, "Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." And then it says, Peter wept. Before the rooster crows three times, you will deny me twice. Here's the deal. Jesus said that this was what was going to happen. But we're in Jerusalem. In Jerusalem, roosters are not allowed. Roosters are not allowed to be in the city of Jerusalem because they are messy. They don't like the mess that's there. That rooster didn't belong there, but that rooster was there as a reminder to Peter of what Jesus had said. And so he would have paid more attention to the fact that the rooster is crowing because it's in a place it doesn't belong, and so am I. I'm in a place of denial, and I don't belong here. And then it said, and when he thought about it, he wept. He wept. This wept word means sorrowing from the deepest part of your being. Sorrowing from the deepest part of your being. Have you ever been in a situation where you are so sorry about what you've done, so sorry about what you've said, that you are sobbing? You're just, oh, you can't even breathe. You're crying so hard. That was Peter. See, Peter thought there is no chance. There is no chance of ever having a relationship with Jesus ever again. I have denied him just like he said I would, and there is no chance that this is ever going to come back together again. I am hopeless, Peter is saying. I am without hope. Later on, we'll read that Jesus was so concerned about this that he said, go tell my disciples after the resurrection, go tell my disciples and Peter that I have risen. That's why he drew attention to Peter at that time, because he was risen and he needed Peter to know that. And then we go on immediately, chapter 15, in the morning, the chief priests and the elders and the scribes and the whole council, and they bound Jesus. They bound Jesus. Why? They've come after him with 150 men. Now they are binding Jesus. Can these things hold him? Absolutely not. But what does hold him, what does hold Jesus, is his love for us. It is his love for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Because of that love, Jesus allowed himself to be bound with those measly little ropes or whatever it was that they used. He could have called 10,000 angels even now to free him. And yet he didn't. And here he is, he's bound and he's being led away. They led him away and they delivered him to Pilate. Now, Pilate is a piece of work. That's what I have to say about this guy. Pilate was on his last leg. He has already been told from up top, one more problem and you are out of a job. You are out of your position. We are done with you. Pilate had gone ahead and he had allowed a picture of Caesar to be put on the Temple Mount. Now, if you've been to Israel, and can you imagine that place having a huge picture of Caesar or a huge picture of someone else that called themselves God there on the Temple Mount? Can you imagine that situation? Well, the Jews were not excited about that, and they rebelled, and they rioted. And people actually died during that time, during those riots. That's one strike against Pilate. Number two strike, a few months later, Pilate saw the need for an aqueduct to get water into Jerusalem, and where he needed the money to get it. He needed the money to build it. And so he took money from the temple treasury to build the aqueduct. Again, the Jews were not happy. Again, the Jews rioted. And again, Pilate was in a place of question. And so this is what brought him to this place that he is with right now, where he has to make this decision, and we'll see later that he became a people pleaser to protect his position. And so here we are, he can't afford them to riot again. And so, as we go on, and then Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And he answered to him, and this is the only account in the book of Mark that we have him saying anything, "It is as you say." Are you the king of the Jews? It is as you say. What does that say to you? It says to me, yes, I am. And you are calling me that. I love the way he forced them to call him. So anyway, and the chief priest accused him of many things, verse 3, but he answered nothing. Then Pilate asked him again, saying, "Why aren't you answering anything? See how many things they testify against you." But verse 5, Jesus still answered nothing. So Pilate's going, what's the deal? Can you see Pilate's face right now? People, when they go before me, they get upset. They talk about themselves. They say they're innocent. They say these things. What's wrong with you? Why are you saying nothing? You see, Jesus was being led as a lamb to the slaughter, silent, as he went on his way. And Pilate marveled at it. Now at the feast, he was accustomed, Pilate was, to releasing one prisoner to them, whomever they requested. Now there was one named Barabbas, son of the father, Bar, son, Abbas, of fathers. So who was chained with his fellow rebels. They had committed murder in the rebellion. What do we know about this guy? We know that he was a murderer. We know he's an insurrectionist. We know that he is a revolutionist. We know that he killed people, many people. He was a bad guy. And we know this about him. It says right here that he was a bad guy. And so this is clear there. And then the multitude, in verse 8, crying aloud, began to ask Pilate to do just as he had always done for them before. And so Pilate's saying, okay, this is a good deal because I can release Jesus. This'll work. This'll save face for me. So good setup for us here. Verse 9, but Pilate answered them, saying, "Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" What do you think? Do you think that's a good idea? I'd like to release the king of the Jews. Yeah, no. For he knew, even Pilate knew, that the chief priests had handed him over because of envy and jealousy. Ladies, we do dumb things when we walk in envy and jealousy. We say some pretty stupid things, and I don't usually use that word stupid. My kids were not allowed to use that word stupid, but it really fits here. We do stupid things when we get in jealousy and we're envious of somebody else, what they have or what they are made of or whatever. But what happened? He said, "Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" And they said, the chief priests stirred up the crowd. Can you see them? Say it. Barabbas. Can you hear him? Barabbas. And Pilate stands there. He answered and he said to them, "So then what do you want me to do with him who you call the king of the Jews? You're the ones who are calling him that. What would you like me to do with him?" And they cried out and they said, Crucify him. Pilate's answer, "Why? What evil has he done? Can you put yourself in this place?" Now, I know probably all of you have seen this in a movie setting. But I want you right now to just put yourself there. Just imagine, don't get carried away, but just imagine yourself there in that place. And the crowds yelling, "Crucify him, crucify him, crucify him." And Pilate saying, "What evil has he done? What has he done?" But they cried out the more, "Crucify him, crucify him." They wanted Pilate to do it because they weren't allowed to put him to death. So Pilate, wanting to gratify the crowd, Pilate wanting to be a people pleaser, Pilate wanting to keep his position, Pilate in his pride and his arrogance, released Barabbas to them, and he delivered Jesus after he had scourged him. Scourging. Man, that's a tough thing. Scourging was done with a cat of nine tails, which is strips of leather with rocks at the end, with glass at the end, with metal at the end, and they would whip him. And when it hit, it would pull the skin right off, pull the meat off of his back. When he got to this place, remember, he's already been beaten up. He's already got both black eyes. His face is swollen. His body bruised all over. Unrecognizable as the person who walked in there, probably unrecognizable as a man. And now he's being scourged. And now the meat is being torn off of his back. And blood flowing down as he's being scourged. Why would he have to be scourged? He would have to be scourged because Isaiah 53:5 says, "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for his peace, for our peace, was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed." By his stripes we are healed. We are talking about what has just happened. By his stripes, what he took upon himself, we are healed by what he took upon himself. This is a hard portion of scripture to go over, but I want us to put ourselves there. Put yourself there and see it for what it really is. And then he was delivered to be crucified. And then the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium. And they called together the whole garrison. They said, "Hey, guys, come on over. Look what we got over here. Can you see this guy? I mean, I call him a guy, but he really doesn't even look like a guy right now. He's all swollen and everything, all black and blue. We can't even recognize him as to who he was. But come on over. Let's have some fun." Verse 17, "And they clothed him with purple." He deserved to have purple on. He was royalty. Purple represents that royalty. He deserved to have that purple robe on him. But let's look again. His back has been torn open. He's bleeding. Now this cloth has been put upon his back and wrapped around him. And it's becoming blood-soaked because of what he's been through so far. And here he is with this robe on that they have placed on him. "And they twisted a crown of thorns." Thorns this long, that's no exaggeration. What is that, 2 inches? "And they didn't just put it on his head, they pushed it on his head. And the blood began to flow down his face, through his hair. Now his hair is filled with blood. His face, black and blue, swollen. His body covered with a blood-soaked purple garment. And they began to salute him. "Hail, King of the Jews," mocking him. And then they struck him on the head with a reed, and they spat on him. They spat on him. And bowing the knee, mockingly, they worshiped him. And when they had mocked him, they took the purple off him. What happens when you have something, a piece of cloth, a piece of gauze, maybe, over a wound, and it's been there a little bit and it gets blood soaked, maybe some of that blood's dried, and they ripped it off. And here he is bleeding more. They ripped off that purple thing that they had put on him. He did that for us. He did that for me because of my sin. And they put on his own clothes on him, and they led him out to crucify him. This is a hard place to stop. I want to go on and tell the whole story so that we can get to, there's a joyous thing that happens. But I think it's very important for us sometimes to look at what really happened. Because what happened to Jesus, remember in Psalms it says that he would be unrecognizable as a man. Jesus at this moment was unrecognizable as a man, let alone as the man who had come into them. Swollen, blood everywhere. And didn't say a word. Didn't say, "It's not my fault." Didn't say, "Stop." Remember in the garden, he'd said, "Father, if there's any way that this can pass before me, please." Jesus' manhood, not fearful, but in a place of recognizing what was ahead of him. His body hurt just like our bodies hurt. It wasn't that he was God, so these things happen and he just, okay, yeah, go ahead. It hurt, just like it sounds like it hurt. It really hurt that much and more. And he did it without a word. I don't want us to take this lightly. Because sometimes we look at the cross and we go, "Oh yeah, because of the cross." And we take what Jesus went through for us for granted. And we forget that there was a huge price to pay and somebody else paid it for us. I pray that we never look at this portion of Scripture the same again. That we will always look at it and we will recognize what it is that Jesus Christ has done for us, that we might have that freedom. And we'll move into it the next time we're together as we go through a harder part probably, but with a happier ending. And so, Lord Jesus, I thank you, Father, that you open up our eyes to the things that are. Lord, for the suffering that you went through, that we might have eternal life. Lord, that you laid down your life willingly. No one took it from you, but you willingly laid down your life for us, for our sin. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you. We cannot thank you enough. The best we can do, Lord, is live our life for you. the best we can do is to give you all the glory and honor and praise that's due your name. The best we can do is to receive you as our Lord and Savior. The best we can do is be prisoners of hope and completely surrender our lives over to you. Father, would you fill us now with compassion? Compassion for those who don't know you, who don't know what we're talking about tonight. And cause us to be bold and to be strong and to be courageous, to speak your word and to love people like you've told us to. Lord, I pray that every Christian in this United States that calls themselves Christians will humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways, seek your face. Repent. We want to turn from our evil ways, Lord, that you might forgive our sins and heal our land. We pray for wisdom on these things like Target. Lord, we don't want to be people that are just doing it for the sake of being noticed or for any other reason than common sense. You've given us wisdom, Lord, and we want to walk in that wisdom. Show us what we are to do. Show us what we are not to do. And help us to be sensitive to your voice. Lord, cause us to seek your face, your wisdom, your knowledge. And cause us to walk in a way, Lord, that always brings glory to your name. We love you, Lord. I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that as these ladies get into their small groups, Lord, that they, as they look at their homework and go over these things, Lord, that they would hear from you as they just minister one to another and minister to you in their small groups. We pray your blessing on tonight, Lord. We love you. We thank you. We praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name. I'm giving up, letting go.
This has been a presentation of the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.